when I grow up, I'm going to learn to play like Marguerite. Can I hear an amen? Oh, that's beautiful, Marguerite. And I love that song, Give Thanks. What a beautiful song. Good morning. Welcome to Bethany United Methodist Church. It is hard to believe Thanksgiving is this week. What happened to this year, right? It flew by. I know this year has been difficult for so many, though. But through it all, our God is so good. Amen. In Psalm 95, 1 through 2, we read this. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Now, we're going to sing our first two songs. They're hymns. We're going to sing them back to back, but they are so appropriate. Come, ye thankful people, come, and we gather together. We need each other now. Amen. Let's give thanks to our God.
Song of harvest home, all is safely gathered in, ere the winter storms begin. God our Maker doth provide for our wants to be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come, raise the song of harvest home. All the world is God's own field. Fruit as praise to God we yield. Wheat and tares together sown are to joy or sorrow grown. First the blade and then the ear, then the full corn shall appear. Lord of harvest, grant that we wholesome grain and pure may be. And hastens his will to make known. The wicked oppressing now cease from distressing. Sing praises to his name, he forgets not his own. We all do extol thee, thou leader triumphant, and pray that thou still a defender will be. Let thy congregation escape tribulation. Thy name be ever praised, O Lord, make us free.
Let's bow our heads and go to our Father in prayer. Good morning, Lord. It's good to be here together. It's good to worship you, but we need you now more than ever, Lord. Heal your people. Heal this country. Lord, we just, so many people are hurting right now, and they need you. Help us to show that to others. Help us to share the many blessings that you have given us with others. People need to know you, so help us to share with everyone we meet the love that you have given us. Father, we also pray that this service will honor and glorify you. We lift it up to you, our little pitiful offering, sacrifice of praise. We just pray that you feel the love that we have for you. Thank you so much, Lord. And we just pray right now that you also are with all of the people who are suffering from illness or grief or anything that's keeping them feeling down and separated from you, Lord. Let them feel your presence. For it is in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. God was, is, and always will be faithful, good, and merciful to those who love him. Now, God loves everyone, right? But in order to experience the fullest and richest of his blessings, one has to choose him and follow him. Psalm 40, verse 4, tells us, "Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust." I am very thankful that I chose to make him my trust. You see, I've experienced a great deal of tragedy in my life, but God has always, always been with me. He's held my hand in the darkest, most sorrow-filled moments that I thought would never ease, and he's given peace to my weary soul. Our next song, "The Goodness of God," expresses the gratitude that I have for my Father and his love for me. Let's sing it. Well, you can't sing, can you? We'll sing it for you.
Come along.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire, and in darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been.
Children's moment with Pastor Susan.
Good morning. Good to see all of you. I brought something with me. I brought a can of corn, and I have a question. Do you think that corn could save your life? I'm seeing some maybe. Well, I was looking at some of the stories about the first people who came over to this country, and the folks that landed at Plymouth Rock, they were not entirely prepared for their first winter here, and so they had been. It took them over 2 months to cross the ocean, and they got here and they were looking for things that they could eat, that they could forage, and they wandered into an abandoned Indian village, and they noticed that there was a place where the sand was really smoothed over, and somebody got an idea, and they dug down into the sand, and they found bushels of dried corn. And the Indians who would have been living there, they were off at another camp hunting. And so that corn was actually the seed corn that they were going to plant when they came back in the spring. And the pilgrims took it, which wasn't entirely, they were desperate. So some of it they probably ground up and ate, and some of it they saved as seed corn. And another Indian named Squanto, who knew English, which is a whole long story, but we won't get into that. He showed them how to plant the corn, and people died over that winter because they were hungry. They were starving, and they had some food, but they didn't have a lot. But then that next season, they planted the seed corn, they had this big harvest, and they paid back the Indians the bushels of corn that they took. And so corn saved their lives. It wasn't corn quite like this. It was more like what we think of as Indian corn. But the pilgrims were very grateful, and we think about that. They had a feast, and they invited the Indians to come and eat with them. And so we commemorate that as Thanksgiving, although, as one of my parishioners, Miss Lucy Gay, would say, the first Thanksgiving really happened in Virginia, okay? So for her, I have to add that disclaimer. but anyway, so, corn, it saved somebody's life. And there are things that we do every day, maybe that don't save people's lives, but maybe that love and affection that we show out of gratitude, that feels like a life-saving thing sometimes. So think about what you're thankful for as we head into Thanksgiving. It may not be corn. You may not have corn on your table, but maybe you'll have love and kindness at your table, and that feels like it saves lives. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for all of those things that sustain us. Lord, we probably take most of it for granted, but help us to be thankful for all that you've given us, and help us to share our gratitude with one another. Amen.
This morning, our scripture reading will be a responsive reading. It comes from Ezekiel 34, 11 through 16. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As the shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out of the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture, where they shall lie down in good grazing land. And they shall feed on rich pastures on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide. I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken.
Just a quick reminder for our folks who are watching on Facebook, you can text a prayer concern to 540-495-0501. We're taking those. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, I have this sudden notion of myself as a fat sheep. Lord, I just ask that wherever we see ourselves in the scripture, that you would help us to look into our hearts, to meditate, and to see where it is you are calling us today. Whether we are to see ourselves as scattered sheep, whether we are to see ourselves as the gathered in. Lord, be with us in our meditation. Help us to know how it is you call us into service and love this day. Amen. Well, you've probably heard this old joke before, but do you know what you get when you play a country song backwards? Your sweetheart comes back to you, your mama gets out of prison, and your dog comes home. Call that rescue and restoration. And we live in a household of with rescued animals, two cats, two dogs, and a turtle. And we had a cat named Mama Abraham, was the name our kids gave her. And she just decided to be our cat. We didn't want another cat. We didn't even want the one cat we already had. Well, our kids wanted it, but it just showed up at church one day and ended up at our house. But this other cat, she would come to our back door, to our back porch, and we had French doors on the back porch, and she would sit there and stare at us while we were in the family room. At first, she was pretty rough looking. My daughter thought she was a possum the first time she saw her. Her coat was matted and pretty nondescript looking, and she was thin, but she would sit there and she would catch the moths that were attracted to the light from the coming out of the house and eat them. And my kids were like, well, you know, should we give it something to eat? And I said, no, if we feed it, it'll never go away. And so one day, one of my neighbors came by and she said, oh, I know who the owner of that cat is. She said, you go ahead and put it in your garage, and I'll call them and they'll come and get it. So I lured the cat into the garage with a stale donut that was left over from church fellowship. And then I gave it some cat food. And a couple days went by and the people didn't come and get the cat. So I found out where they lived and I packed up the cat and I took it to them. And it turned out the cat's name was Moon and Stars. And it was their 5-year-old daughter's cat, who had named it Moon and Stars. And I said goodbye to the cat, and I thought optimistically that I wouldn't see it again. And 2 days later, Moon and Stars was back staring at us through the French doors. So I packed her up again, and I delivered her to her owners, who seemed not exactly enthusiastic to receive her. And within an hour, She was back at our house. They lived about a half mile from us. And my kids said, "Mom, you shouldn't have fed her that donut. Now she's never going to leave." And she didn't. She had kittens on our front porch. Before that, we had already brushed her out and started feeding her. And she was our cat. When we would move and we get to a new place and we'd say, at that point we called her Mama, but we'd say, "Mama, you've come a long way from Ebony, Virginia." It was kind of a rescue operation. I was a little reluctant, but she was a good cat, and she got a new life from us. And so Ezekiel is talking about kind of a rescue operation in our scripture today, a gathering in. And Ezekiel starts chapter 34 talking about the bad shepherds, the former kings of Israel and Judah, who cared more about their own comfort than looking after their people, the ones who had been entrusted to them by God. But then the people are scattered into the Babylonian exile. But God now says through Ezekiel, "I'm going to gather my people in." I don't know a lot about sheep, but from the Bible, it seems that they are prone to wander off. And so now God says he's going to gather them in. And that image of God as a shepherd, you can see that throughout the Hebrew Bible. And maybe most famously in Psalm 23, where the Lord, the shepherd, makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And there's similar images in Isaiah, in Isaiah 40. God will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs into his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. So there's this sense of, God caring for the sheep, gathering them in. It's kind of a gentle image. But then I think back to Psalm 23 about that, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And, about the staff. Staff is the shepherd's crook that, it's part walking stick and part, hook to get those lambs out of the bramble patch. But the rod is kind of a club. And so it's, what a shepherd would use to beat back a ravenous animal or, maybe to bash a snake on a rock before it could strike. So, being a shepherd is maybe not as pastoral and bucolic as we might sometimes imagine. I think of, seems like there was some kind of Hummel figure, where the sleeping shepherd napping, but being a shepherd was not always that easy. You had to look out for these sheep. You had to protect them. And so God says in the scripture, "I'm going to rescue these sheep from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness." And so God's going to gather the people in. And I realize now, when I picked out the scripture, Thanksgiving, we gather together. And now we have Dr. Fauci telling us, no, don't gather together. Maybe it's not time to gather together. How do we balance this? Because we want to gather together. We want to see the people we haven't seen. We want to do the things that have been denied us. And so I think about how Ezekiel talks about the good shepherds and the scattered sheep. Jesus talks about shepherds too. He says that the good shepherd is the one who cares about the sheep. He says that the good shepherd is invested in his sheep, and he tells the people, "I am the good shepherd." Ezekiel talks about how he's going to give them a new shepherd. It's going to be David. And of course, it's not going to be resurrected David, the shepherd king. We know that this new king is Jesus, a descendant of David, the new king, the new Messiah, the good shepherd who cares for his sheep. And so I think the question for us now is, how do we care for one another? We have a shepherd who is willing to rescue the lost and the least. And I ask myself, what would a rescue mission look like for us today? Perhaps it means having the assurance that everyone could gather safely, that we could have everybody over for the holidays. Perhaps a rescue would mean having regular school schedules with everybody in class. Maybe it would mean no more masks. But we're not there yet. We need to care for the most vulnerable among us. And that can be hard. Hard to recognize and hard to live out. When my husband's aunt died last week, the nursing home she was in had reported 145 cases of COVID. She went to the hospital, but they had to send her back. This is in South Boston, Virginia, because there were no beds. And maybe a rescue operation looks like keeping the transmission down. Not just thinking about what we want in this moment, even though we want it very badly. Maybe it's recognizing that we have to do everything we can to protect the vulnerable. We have to do everything we can to keep from spreading the virus until we get to a vaccine. And you may think, Pastor Susan, this is not a very uplifting message. This is not what I wanted to hear right before Thanksgiving. This is not the good news. Well, is it good news if it saves a life? Doing the right thing now could be more important than ever it has been. We are blessed people. I believe that. I was having some dental work done, and as the dentist was drilling on my teeth, I was thinking, I am very grateful. I'm not happy. I'm having teeth filled, but I'm grateful that I can afford to go to the dentist and have my tooth repaired and not have it pulled. That's kind of a privilege. I'm thankful that even though I want to rush up and hug all of you, we're keeping our distance. Because I'm hoping that we're going to keep one another safe. Sometimes that's what caring means, looking out for one another. So be grateful that we can take the steps we need to take to keep one another safe. Hang in there a little longer. God says, I'm going to gather you in. He tells us to the people who have suffered through 70 years of exile. We can do just a little bit longer, can't we? I hope so. I hope so. And so I do take comfort that God will gather us back in, that there will be something similar to normal one day. Maybe not yet, but soon. Soon. That's the good news. Amen. want to thank Elizabeth Williams, who put our cornucopias up. You can't see them on Facebook, but they are lovely. And she is out in the parking lot because they're expecting a new grandbaby, and they are being extra cautious before they see their daughter. So we're all those are good things. Let us pray. Lord, we are thankful people. Even though our gathering this Thanksgiving may not look like it has in past years, but Lord, help us to be faithful to you, to care. Help us to care for one another. Thank you for all that we have received from you, and thank you for all of those who have given of themselves. Lord, continue to bless them and bless us to your service. Amen. Have a couple of announcements. Today is the deadline if you want to order poinsettias. So there are some forms out on the entryway table if you don't have a form and you'd like to order a poinsettia for the sanctuary. And of course, you can also give a donation, and that will go to our two missions. So we need that back sometime today. Also, thank you for everyone who is part of Apple Tree. All the tags were taken. All of the gifts have been sent, delivered. So that is a wonderful thing. We are going to have a hanging of the greens next Sunday at 4 p.m. Weather permitting, we will probably start outside with some Christmas caroling, because we can sing outside, and then have families come in family groups and put ornaments on the tree and maybe leave with a snack of some kind. So you'll get more final, everything will be finalized by the happenings. But yes, we are doing it at 4 p.m. next Sunday. Also, if anyone has would like to prepare a meal for Lloyd and Susan Meadows, you can see in the happenings there's a website that you can go to and sign up to do a meal. And our newsletter deadline is November 23rd, tomorrow. So, we want to get that out in time, in a timely fashion. So I lift that up to you. Do we have any other announcements this morning? Yes. All right, so we are doing the Christmas cards. Anyone who can't come into church, we will set up delivery, and any donations for sending out cards will go to the youth. Any others? All right. I know that among our prayer concerns, we definitely want to keep Lloyd and Susan Meadows in our prayers. Marguerite reminded me, it's Karen Kugler, right? Karen Kugler is still missing, still looking for her, so be in prayer for her, and that she'll be found. Any others? I'm not checking my phone, I'm checking prayer concerns. That would be rude to be checking my phone in the middle of the service. Let us pray. Loving God, divine creator, we find ourselves in unusual times. As infection rates go up, Lord, we pray for those that we love, that you might keep them safe and well. Lord, we ask that you show us how it is we can care for one another, that we can take tender care of each other. Lord, we pray for all of those who have been affected by illness. We pray that you would pour out healing upon them. And we pray for those who have lost loved ones and ask that you give them hope in the power of the resurrection to bring new life. Lord, we know that new life can come out of brokenness and sorrow. And so we ask for those resurrection moments because we need them. Heavenly Father, I pray for us as a congregation, as the body of Christ, that though we are not as close as we would like to be to one another, that you would keep us bonded to one another, at work with one another, in prayer for one another. Continue to enrich us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Remind us of his great sacrifice for us. Remind us that he is our good shepherd who leads us to good things, sometimes even in the midst of hard things. All of these things I pray in his mighty name. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our final hymn this morning is, our praise song is, God is on the Move.
Anytime a heart turns from darkness to light, anytime temptation comes and someone stands to fight, anytime somebody lives to serve and not be served, I know. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today. Anytime in weakness someone falls upon their knees, or dares to speak the truth that sets them free. Anytime the choice is made to stand upon the word,
as you go forth, know that you go into the mission field May you go blessed by God. May you gather safely wherever you gather. Amen. Mm-hmm.